Okay, today we're going to continue the study we've been on the last several weeks called Growing Up. Growing Up. And we're talking about growing up spiritually in our walk with God. You know, God is wanting us to mature spiritually in our walk with Him. He's wanting us to grow closer in our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how many here today are glad that they are no longer 2 years old? Right? A two-year-old doesn't really have a good understanding of the world, right? He doesn't have a real good understanding of people. He really can't develop relationships. But as somebody grows and becomes an adolescent and then an adult, he has a better understanding of the world. He's better able to develop those relationships. And, you know, we talked about this last week. We talked about godly friendships. As we mature, as we grow from being a spiritual toddler to a spiritual adult, we need to build godly friendships. And remember this, the people we closely join ourselves to will either weaken or strengthen our relationship with Christ. Talked about that last week. Should I say it again? The people that we closely join ourselves to will either weaken or strengthen our relationship with Christ. How many here are serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ? How many here are serious about growing closer to Jesus Christ? Then you need to develop relationships with those who are serious about Jesus Christ. With those who are serious about growing closer to God. You know what? If you build those relationships with those who really love Christ, they will help pull you up spiritually. Also think about this. If you're being drawn into fellowship, if you're being drawn into spending a lot of your time with those who are not serious about Jesus Christ, if you're being drawn to develop close ties to those who are not serious about God, you need to ask yourself why. You need to be concerned. It's a good concern, a godly concern. You need to ask yourself, why am I being drawn to fellowship, to spend a lot of time with those who do not love Jesus Christ? You know, that could be an indicator of your spiritual state with God. And something needs to be done about it. You need to pray, God, I don't know why, but God, I pray that you give me the desire to build relationships, to spend a lot of my time with those who are stronger than me spiritually. Something needs to be done about that. Now, today I want to talk with you about another way to grow up spiritually. Another way to grow up. It's called serving others. Serving others. Now, a toddler. Think about a toddler. When he doesn't get his way, he kicks, he stomps his feet, he throws his fists up, he gets angry, right? He holds chips. Three people are important to a toddler. Who are those people? Me, myself, and I. But a person who grows up into adulthood learns to give back out. He gives back out to his employers, gives of his time, of his service. He gives back out to his parents and gives back out to society. How do you give back out to society? If you're working, you pay taxes. That's the way you give back out as an adult. The mark of a spiritually maturing Christian is what? The mark of a spiritually maturing Christian is the desire to serve others. Or the mark of a spiritually mature Christian is the desire to reach out to other people. Now, think about some bodies of water, a pond. When you think of a pond, what do you think of? It's what?
Fish,
okay? It's like a dead body of water, right? It just kind of sits still. I was doing some research on this today. You know, a pond left alone long enough can become like a grassland. It can dry up. On the other hand, a river, think of a river. A river is what? It's flowing. A river is alive. What does a river do? A river receives water from a source, but it also gives it out to another source, like an ocean or a sea. A river is alive. It receives and it gives. And I don't know how many here go up and down Riverside at times by the Arkansas River, but I bike there occasionally with a friend, you know, during the day or at night. It's just beautiful. That river is just flowing southward so fast. You know, just flowing. It's so beautiful. It's so full of life, full of fish, teeming with life. You know, we spiritually need to be like that river. We need to receive from God, from His Word. We need to get into the Word. We need to pray and grow spiritually. We need to fellowship with other Christians. We need to go to church and learn the Word of God. But at the same time, not only do we need to receive like that river receives, we also need to give out like that river gives out. That will keep us spiritually alive and spiritually growing. Say it today with me. I want to be spiritually like a river, receiving from God and then giving out to others. All right, now think about this. In relationship to other people, if you find yourself thinking about yourself first, and about your comforts, and about your schedule, you need to be concerned. Should I say it again? In relationship to others, if you find yourself thinking about yourself first, about your comforts and your schedule, you need to be concerned. This is a good concern, a godly concern. You need to ask yourself, why do I think of me first all the time? Could it be maybe that your walk with Christ is maybe somewhat weak? It maybe needs quite a bit of strengthening. You know, James and John thought this way. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. James and John. Yes, Mark chapter 10. And they had a request of Jesus. Verse 35. When you're there, lift up your head. Just look straight here. All right. So most of us are there. Okay, James and John. Mark 10:35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Verse 37. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Verse 39. We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Verse 41. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, verse 43. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we have James and John here wanting to sit at either side of Jesus in his glory. They had what kind of problem? They had an I problem. They were thinking about I and me. How can I be great in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you're not to think like the Gentiles do. The Gentiles, those who lord it over them, you know, they show off their authority. Not with you. He said, it's different in my kingdom. You see, the spiritual principles in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is upside down compared to the world. The world says if you want to climb financially, materialistically, you've got to step on people until you get to the top. And God says, in my kingdom, it's different. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you've got to lay your life down. You have got to learn to serve others. It's upside down in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in His kingdom, you've got to learn to be the servant of all. And then He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus is saying what? In verse 45 of Mark 10. He's saying, if you're truly a disciple of mine, you've got to be like me. Not to be served, but to serve and give your life away for others. If you're truly my disciples. It says in Philippians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle writes, along the same lines, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, verse 5. In other words, he's saying, imitate Jesus in this way. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a what? Servant. Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, he was saying in verse 6, was God. But he laid his life down to serve you and me. How did he serve us? Think about it. How did he serve us? How did Jesus serve you and me? He laid his life down on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could miss hell and be assured of heaven one day with God. Amen? So he says, we're to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, friends. When you serve others, guess who you're serving? You're serving the Lord Jesus himself. He writes further in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus you are serving. So what is Paul writing to the Colossians? When you reach out to others, when you serve others, yes, you're serving that person. But ultimately, you are serving whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. That person that you reach out to, that organization that you reach out to, that person that you're showing the love of Christ to is Jesus in disguise. That's the hands and the feet and the eyes of Jesus that you're serving when you reach out to others. It's the mark of a spiritually maturing Christian. Now, Jesus says the same thing himself in Matthew 25. How many here know about the parable of the sheep and the goats? Can I read that to you? Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, verse 35. And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Verse 37 of Matthew 25. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? Then when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Matthew 25, 40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus says, you did for me. Jesus is basically saying what Paul wrote, right, in Colossians 3, 20, 23 and 24. That when you serve others, when you reach out to them, you're reaching out to whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? That when you serve others, when you reach out to somebody else, you're reaching out to Jesus. Think about that. Why is it that when you touch another person with flesh and bone, you're touching Jesus himself? Why is that? Let's go back to the garden, Genesis chapter 1. Because everybody is what? Created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of every single person on the face of this earth. When you touch that person, you're touching the very heart of God. And you know, and when you hurt another person, you're hurting the very heart of God as well. Everybody is created in God's image. So when you touch them, when you touch that lady, when you touch that man, you're touching Jesus Christ himself. Now, think about this. If you really love Christ, you will love what he loves. If you really love Jesus Christ, you will love what Jesus Christ loves. What does Jesus Christ love?
You and I.
You and I, okay. Jesus Christ loves people, and he loves serving people, even when it does not feel good. Even when it's uncomfortable. Stepping out of yourself, even when you don't feel like doing it. Think about Jesus. Jesus was in heaven, right? He left the beauty and the splendor of heaven, and where did he come? He came to a sin-riddled world. He walked the dusty roads of Israel. He lived a simple life. He came to an uncomfortable earth. He stepped out of himself to serve you and me. And then furthermore, even more than that, what did he do? At the end of his life, he died a painful and torturous death on the cross. He laid his life down so that you and I could be saved. Jesus did what was uncomfortable in reaching out to others. We're to be imitators of Christ and do the same, even when it does not feel good. Again, this is the mark of someone who is following Jesus Christ closely. And it may be difficult for you to reach out to somebody. But do it once. Take a small step. And then the next step becomes a little easier. And then the step after that becomes easier yet, to where you find joy and satisfaction in reaching out to others, in serving others. And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you know, I'm in great need myself here at John 3:16. How can I reach out beyond myself? Friend, you can. Did you know there is somebody out there that is in greater need than you? There's somebody out there in greater need than you. Who is that? I mean, you've got a shelter over your head. You've got the AC working in this place. There's somebody there tonight sleeping under a bridge, sleeping on a street corner, right? There's somebody out there with no food, nothing to drink, one pair of clothing. You're blessed. You can reach out to those people. You can serve those people. We are all obligated to serving others. You were placed on this earth with a purpose. You're special. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a God-ordained purpose. Let's start stepping out beyond ourselves. Amen? In Jesus' name. I want to give you a personal story. This past Friday, and Brett knows about it because he worked with me on the job. We work on people's homes here in Tulsa. That's the way we make our income. South Tulsa, we do a lot of guttering work on houses and some landscaping and some painting. And so Brett and I were on this big house working on this guy's gutters Friday. And Friday, it was really hot. How many here remember Friday, this past Friday? About 100 degrees all day, plus or minus. We were out in the sun 10 hours that day working on this guy's house. And I was going up and down these ladders, and friends, let me tell you, I was beat to a pulp by the end of the day. I didn't feel like doing anything else. I felt like going home at night and just hitting the sack. I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm just giving you an illustration here. But that night around 8:30, I went to the day center here in downtown Tulsa because I normally go out on Friday nights with a church group. Got there a little later this Friday night, went out there, and my muscles were hurting. I was just felt like sleeping, just went out there and just reached out with the love of Christ. So I ended up sitting next to this man named James. and about mid-50s. Said he'd gone to church, his mother brought him to church, but he never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I sat there and I talked with him for about 30, 35, 40 minutes. And I kid you not, at the end of the conversation, he was like, well, what do I do to receive Jesus Christ as Savior? I said, just pray with me. And right then and there, he accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. A soul snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. That's good news, right? And friends, that night it was uncomfortable going out and serving somebody else. But with God's grace, I was able to do it. And friends, if I was able to do it, you can do it as well. You've got the ability. God has given you two hands and two feet. He's given you health in your body. He's given you eyes. You can do something to serve somebody else. So you might be thinking today, well, whom can I serve? Whom can I serve? Who can you serve? Think about that. Anybody have any ideas? Who is it that you can serve? Stepping out beyond yourself. Say it again.
Neighbor.
Neighbor. Okay, good. I like that. Anybody else?
Serve
what?
Teacher.
Serve a teacher. Okay. Anybody else?
Be active in the church.
Be active in the church. I like that. That's a good answer too. Anybody else?
Serve an employer.
Serve an employer. Good. We can serve our parents. Paul writes in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Some of you may have had really good parents. Some of you maybe didn't have the best of parents. But your parents helped bring you into this world. If they're still alive, honor them some way. You may not be able to see them physically, but serve them by giving them a phone call, maybe once a month. Spending some time with them on the phone. Just letting them know that you're still there and you're still thinking about them. Make sense? Another person you can serve is your, like he said, your employer. Your employer. How can you serve your employer? Anybody out there? How can you serve the person you're working for? Doing a good job. Anybody else?
Show up every day.
If your employer tells you to come in at 9 o'clock, in the morning, be there at 8:45 if you could. If he tells you to work until 5, work until 5:15. Go the extra mile, right? Be diligent on the job. If you're working for a client or a customer, do the job well. Serve that client. Go the extra mile. Show them that you care about them. Demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ in action. And guess what? That employer may reward you. That client may reward you with more hours. Maybe a pay increase. Maybe a promotion. There are rewards attached to diligence and serving those that you work for. You know, your actions sometimes speak so loud, people cannot hear your words. We've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed, in action, by serving others, by reaching out beyond ourselves. Actions speak a lot louder than words many times. Somebody sees your actions and, man, this person is a loving person. This person has got something I don't have. What is it? Well, what you have is Jesus Christ, and they're going to want the Jesus that you and I have. Who else can you serve? Who else can you serve?
Your mates.
Your mates, all right? That's good.
Serve your children.
Serve the lost and the needy. As I said earlier, it's servant evangelism, demonstrating the gospel, communicating the gospel with your actions. You know, God has given you a mouth. If you see somebody out there who's depressed, give them a kind word. God loves you. And I believe in you. That's servant evangelism. You know, maybe somebody out there is hungry and you've got some money. Buy them a meal. Maybe they need clothing. You've got several pairs of clothing. They have one pair. Give away a pair of your clothing. Maybe there's an old man, an old lady on the side of the road stranded with a flat tire. God has given you two arms, right? Two hands. Serve that person. Change the person's tire. Maybe there's somebody in North Tulsa who can't afford somebody to mow their lawn. What could you do? You can maybe mow the lawn. You know, reach out beyond yourself. That is servant evangelism. And at the same time, actively, continuously sharing the gospel verbally with other people, one-on-one or with a group like I'm doing today. And who else could you serve? Somebody said this just earlier. Who else could you serve? To close it off. Okay, well, we're talking about serving others, stepping outside of ourselves. Serving the local church. Volunteering in the church that you belong to. Volunteer. Try to find a volunteer position in some fashion or form. It may be helping to set up the room for a service. It may be taking down the room after a service. But step out beyond yourself and serve the pastor of that local church. Amen? The greatest in the kingdom of God will be what? Will be the servant of all. I just want to give you this last scripture. Galatians 5, verse 14. Paul the Apostle writes, the entire law is summed up. Actually, let's go to verse 13, Galatians 5, 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in what? In love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor? By serving your neighbor. And is your neighbor the person that lives next door? Is it only the person that lives next door? Or sleeps next to you, in a bed next to you? No, it's not only that person. It is that person that lives next door or may sleep next to you. But the neighbor includes more than that. The neighbor includes somebody or anybody who is in need of your help. And when you reach out beyond yourself to serve that person, to help that person, you're acting as that person's neighbor. Even when it does not feel good. And part of stepping out beyond ourselves to serve others is serving others who may have hurt us in the past. Insulted us. Offended us. Sometimes it's so tough to reach out to those people. Pray to God and say, God, give me your strength and your grace to reach out to this person who has so deeply wounded me. That's serving when it's uncomfortable, in Jesus' name. Amen.